Exodus chapter 13, and we're going to be reading from verse 17 on page 67. Exodus 13 and starting at verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, "Lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt." But God led the people round by the way of the wilderness towards the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here." And so they moved on from Succoth and encamped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people.
Well, let me lead us in prayer. Your word is a lamp to my path and a light. Our Father, we praise you for this wonderful truth, that your word lights up our way and sheds light into our dark hearts and enables us to see clearly. And so we pray for the powerful work of your Holy Spirit as your word is taught and he wields his sword. And as we hear your word read, would you please light up our darkness? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The second reading is from John chapter 8, verses 12 to 30, which can be found on the church Bibles on page 1078. That's page 1078. John chapter 8, verse 12 to 30. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two men is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, therefore, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself, since he says, 'Where I am going, you cannot come'? He said to them, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him." They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him.
Okay, thank you very much. Please keep your Bibles open in John chapter 8, and there's an outline of where we're heading on the reverse of the notice sheet. Now, are you in the know? Would you like to be in the know? Well, of course we would. Our ears prick up. No one wants to be out of the loop, wasting their time, missing out on what they might know. We want to know, don't we, what, how things work, what makes things tick, how we can benefit from these things. Well, one man who took this to extremes is the author A.J. Jacobs. He wrote the recent New York Times bestseller, The Know-It-All, One Man's Humble Quest to Become the Smartest Person in the World. And for his research for this book, he read the entire Encyclopedia Britannica, which contains 44 million words. Now, is he now in the know or incredibly irritating at a dinner party? Because we know, don't we, being in the know is not just about facts. It's more than that. It shapes how we live, being in the know. So Net Mums is there if we want to be in the know about parenting, or the Witch magazine, or the online reviews to tell us what we should spend our money on. The Get Rich Quick scheme to make our first million. Here in the city, of course, accurate information is highly prized, because then being in the know, money can be made. And this is in life generally, in the big picture of this world, our place in it. What is it for us to be in the know, to know why we're here, what we're here for, what it's all about? Well, that's the issue as we turn to John chapter 8. Last week, if you're here in John chapter 7, we saw Jesus making the trip to Jerusalem for the Feast of Booths. And we saw that with many crowds listening to him, he caused division. He exposed people's hearts, and yet he made an astonishing offer to any who are thirsty. And in today's passage, which as John wrote his gospel, goes straight on from what we heard last time, Jesus has more to say. And his message is very simple. Jesus declares that he is the light of the world. Verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now that is a staggering claim. We are far too familiar with the language from Christmas time, from assemblies at school. It may have dulled us to how stark those words from Jesus really are. From anyone else, it would be unbearably arrogant. "I am the light of the world." Your favourite religious teacher or guru, who might think they know it all, would still never say that. They would guide you. They would point you, maybe, to the light. Jesus says, "It's me. I am the light of the world." And so we must then try and understand, what could he mean by this claim? Worth starting with those who would have first heard it, in Jerusalem at the Feast of Booths. That Feast of Booths was a celebration of God getting his people out of Egypt and then travelling safely to the Promised Land. And as we heard in the Old Testament reading, the way God did that was to give a pillar of light by, of cloud by day and of fire by night. It kept the people out of harm's way, away from danger, and took them to safety and security. And rightly, they remembered that and celebrated it. Which makes what Jesus says even more highly charged. He stands up and says, I am the light of the world. He is the true ultimate light to which that was pointing all along. He says, all who follow him now are the ones that will stay out of harm's way, now and forever. They are the ones that will be led safely to enjoy all of the life that can be had from God. Notice who this light is for. It would be shocking enough for Jesus to say, I am the light of the Jews, or even, I am the light of Israel. That would be a huge claim to make. But Jesus goes further, the light of the world. So it wasn't just for those first hearers then. It was all people everywhere down the centuries. Jesus is the light. Whatever continent today someone might hear this message, whatever kind of office they are in, whatever their background, whoever they are, Jesus is saying to them, I am the light of the world, your world, you. Jesus claims that. And that is good news, isn't it? It is so clear. So to be in the know, to know what it's all about in this world, we don't have to read Encyclopedia Britannica or a more up-to-date version, surf all of Wikipedia to see what we can find. It's very simple. There's no secret knowledge we have to know, no inner circle we have to find. Jesus publicly and openly says it. He says, I am the light of the world for all to see. We must listen carefully to what he says. Notice he doesn't say, I am a light of the world. Because light, isn't it, is used all the time. It's a familiar religious symbol. There's the Jewish Hanukkah today, the festival of lights. There's the Hindu Diwali, celebrating the victory of light over darkness. Buddhism will offer you enlightenment. And many people who would say they're not religious at all are still spiritual, looking for the light. I was chatting recently to a local headmaster about the range of assemblies, well, headmistress at her school. And they were based on all the various religious festivals. They kind of took them in turn. And she was explaining to me how light is a common theme of all world religions. She says it's wonderful because it points us that we are essentially humans together with a common understanding of the divine. And it's all about the spiritual light as we see it. I quoted Jesus' words to her. Jesus is not one expression of universal light. He won't let us get away with that. Jesus says very plainly, he personally is the light, which means that all else apart from him, outside of him, is not light. It's to be walking in darkness. It doesn't matter what festival you might celebrate, however much you talk about the light. Only Jesus, he claims, is the light. But why would we not want to recognize Jesus as the light? Look at what he offers. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What an offer. No more stumbling around in the darkness. No more trying to make head or tail of this world and our place in it. Think of the sun in the physical world, which shines its light and gives life. While Jesus says, in the spiritual world, the real world, the way things are, he is the light. He gives the life for which we were made, the true life of knowing him now and forever. Okay, we won't be in the know about everything in all its details, but we will be in the know about what matters. We will know Christ. We'll know the one we were made for. And that will shape then our lives. So it's crystal clear, isn't it? Jesus has made a remarkable, public, clear, life-transforming claim for all to hear. At long last, this true light has dawned. The religious leaders respond in verse 13. So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Can you believe it? The fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises, which they should have known or claimed to have known, was standing right there in front of them. He's made them a remarkable offer to them, that they will walk in this light and not stay in the darkness. But they simply won't have it. They reject it out of hand. And that shows us really what these Pharisees are like that we are dealing with. They pass judgment on Jesus. Notice what they're doing. They're acting as if they are the ones in the light, as if they know better than Jesus, that he's got it wrong. But of course, they are walking in darkness. They've even not realized that yet. And it's that response from the Pharisees that now sets the tone for the rest of the passage. Jesus is the light of the world, but the world is in the dark. And this, isn't it, this response of the Pharisees, we see all around us today. Yes, there's much that shines, much that glitters. It's a beautiful weekend. We see many impressive things, many claims to knowledge. But the world is in darkness. Because what does the world do with Jesus? Well, he's confidently, like these Pharisees, written off. And people do it with an air, don't they, of superiority, as if they are in the light. You don't still believe in all that Jesus stuff today. We've grown out of that now. We simply know better. In the 18th century, we had the Enlightenment. The authoritative religious claims were shunned, including those of Christ. So-called shackles were removed. Supposedly, we humanity were leaving the dark, leaving that behind, stepping into the wonderful new light. But of course, none of that changes these authoritative words of Jesus, that he is the light. So any who deny that, any today who follow in the footsteps of the Pharisees, they might think they're in the light, but Jesus says, all who reject him, however it might even look to us today, they are the ones in darkness. They are not in the know at all. They are shunning that and stumbling around. And Jesus tells us more about that. For a start, they are in the dark about Jesus coming and going. Verse 14. Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going." We today, don't we, if someone's a bit lost, whether geographically or just in life generally, we say they don't know where they are coming or going. They don't know what they are doing. But Jesus here uses that language to say he does know. Because if you were here last week, you'll remember back in chapter 7, the issue of where Jesus comes from was a live one. Some thought that if Jesus really was the Christ, God's King, well, surely they wouldn't even know where he came from. Others thought, well, he came from Galilee, but then thought surely he should come from Bethlehem. There was confusion, darkness. Because John's Gospel has shown us the answer here, really, to where Jesus comes from. Do you remember the Word who was God and with God? The light coming into the world in the flesh, dwelling with the creation, the humanity he himself had made. That's where Jesus came from, the Father's side, to make him known. But they didn't get that. Which means they are also in the dark about Jesus and his Father. So you'll remember the Pharisees' argument, their presenting issue. They said that Jesus, as far as they could see, was only one person bearing witness to himself. Surely the Old Testament demanded two. Well, Jesus responds in verse 18. "I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." Jesus has two witnesses, himself and his Father. You see, the words of Jesus, as we've seen in John's Gospel, are not only his words, they are the very words of the Father. All he does are likewise the works the Father has given him to do. Anyone who examines those words of actions of Jesus can only conclude here is God himself at work in the world. which gets the response in verse 19. They said to him, therefore, where is your father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. If you knew me, you would know my father also. Now, when they are asking here where his father is, it may well be a dig at his parentage. But all the same, they're totally missing the point. And so Jesus tells them bluntly, they do not know him or the Father. Now, the first bit of that they'd probably agree with. Yes, they don't know him, they would say. They don't recognise his claims that he makes. But what Jesus then says, the second half of that sentence, would come as a bombshell. Jesus says they do not know the Father. That is, he is saying to them, you do not know God. Remember where we are, in Jerusalem, at the feast, and he is telling these religious leaders, you don't know God. The darkness engulfing them is worse than they realize. And today, in our world, people tell followers of Jesus like us, we are in the dark, don't they? We are left behind. The world seems to be getting ahead in the know, pushing forward. And then we sit there wondering, have I really got this right? Am I in the know? And of course, here Jesus is giving us the diagnostic question to ask about being in the know. It's very simple. Who is he? What answer do we or others give to the answer to this question of who is Jesus? Try it out, if you like, in the office this week or with friends that we see. If anyone fails to gladly recognize that Jesus is the light of the world, come from the Father, then however they might look to you, Jesus has told us they are in darkness. They might claim to be enlightened or with it or spiritual or grown up or left us behind. Whatever it is, Jesus says they are in the dark. And there is added bite here, isn't there, for any who are religious, like these Pharisees. Claim to know God, but reject Jesus. Well, you don't know God at all. Now, can you imagine what his hearers are making of this? Telling observant Jews at the feast in Jerusalem they don't know God is not the way to make yourself popular. How to make yourself public enemy number one. And so as we read this, surely we would think, this is it. Jesus really has gone too far. Verse 20. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. But no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. During the Second World War, my uncle served in the parachute regiment. He was dropped behind enemy lines, and once, as he neared the ground, his parachute got caught in a tree, and he was left hanging there, a sitting duck. The enemy came by, shot him, and went on their way. But they'd missed. The odds were completely stacked against him, but we might say his time had not yet come. And here, Jesus is in enemy HQ. This is the treasury of the temple. He is saying inflammatory words, to say the least. They'd be desperate to get their hands on him, to deal with him. But they don't. They can't, it seems. No one arrested him. We're bound to be asking why, and we're told, because his hour had not yet come. Now, that's not simply a way of talking about the end of his life in general. Now, in John's Gospel, this hour is the climactic event in Jesus' life to which everything is building. This is the reason he came down from the Father into the world. But we're told that moment is not here yet. And so no matter what Jesus' enemies think of him, they can't get their hands on him. The light, if you like, is out of their reach, and they remain in darkness. Now, living in London, we don't experience proper darkness, do we, all that often? A while ago, I took the children. We went to a wedding in Wales. As you know, lampposts have yet to reach Wales. And the reception was held in a farmer's field, which is quite normal in Wales. And it was miles from everywhere. And then coming home, as we left, we'd arrived in the day, and it was dark. And I mean really dark. It was pitch black. The children thought this was really fun to start with, until they thought Daddy might be lost. Then it was unsettling and scary. Jesus told those in Jerusalem they are in darkness, but they seem utterly oblivious to this. They're not acting as if they are in the dark. They probably couldn't care what Jesus said about the darkness anyway. And today, although Jesus has told us that those around us who reject him are in the dark, well, they don't think so. They think they see fine. In fact, they see better than we do. They're quite happy with the way things are, whatever Jesus might say. But darkness is unsettling and it is scary, because darkness can be dangerous. And in the darkness, without Jesus, walking in darkness leads to death. Walking in darkness leads to death. The issue, it seems, in Jerusalem is that Jesus' life is under threat. But death is on the agenda, not simply for him. Verse 21. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. Now, these are sobering words. Sin. At this point in John's Gospel, this sin, this one sin above all, is not a lack of intellectual understanding, a missing gap in their knowledge. No, it's the way they are treating the man standing before them. A refusal to honour Jesus as the one come from God. Because that reveals, Jesus told us, the attitude to God himself. The Pharisees, we assume, don't really care about how they are treating Jesus. Jesus says the consequences are very serious. He tells them they will die in their sin. Malaysian Airlines flight MH370 took off from Kuala Lumpur just after midnight in the darkness. But of course, those on board presumably would have been enjoying the food, the in-flight movie, utterly unaware of how their nighttime flight would end. And here Jesus is giving those before him a stark warning. He is saying the world is in the dark, as it is today. However much fun is being had here and there around the place, this darkness, Jesus says, will lead to death. Gives a reason in verse 23. He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Many today, don't they, think spirituality is all about shades of grey. It's all mixed in together. You can't really tell it apart. And in fact, it doesn't really make much difference in the end, each to his own. Jesus says there is a fundamental difference. He himself, Jesus says, is not of this world. He's utterly set apart and different from it. And all who reject his light are completely separate from him. They are still of this world from below. And again, think of the Jews standing before him. How offensive. They took great pride in their rich heritage. They knew God, they thought. They were different from the other nations. Jesus says, bottom line, the difference is between him and the world, as he calls it. And it's determined by someone's response to him. If people reject him as the light, then fundamentally, he says, they are of the world, not knowing him or the Father. And it matters, he says again, verse 24, I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe I am he, you will die in your sins. It's repeated again and again. Their future is to die. Well, what does that mean? Well, Jesus is saying this ahead of time as a warning to them and to us. And if you like, our world today is in the twilight. By that I mean it is in the darkness, but there is something of God's light shining through generally to all people. Those are the good things we see. People still enjoy much that God gives, even though they throw it back in his face. But Jesus is saying one day this darkness the world is in will become thick and black with no way back to the light ever. And he is saying it to bring them and us to our senses. And notice, even here in verse 24, he makes a remarkable offer. He says there is a way out. There's a way of escape, although only one. He says, unless you believe that I am he. Believe in Jesus, the light of the world. And again, it's an astonishing claim, but he says your destiny will be different. What a wonderful offer. How do they respond? Verse 25. So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Just what I've been telling you from the beginning." I think this is meant to be the tear your hair out moment in the passage. What has Jesus been doing all the way through? Telling them who he is. He's the light of the world, come from above, from the Father. But they still don't get it. They refuse to get it. Verse 27, they did not understand that he'd been speaking to them about the Father. So as we read this now, we have given up, haven't we, really? They are clearly never going to get this, whatever Jesus says to them. They stubbornly refuse to see it, to see the light. And Jesus made plain the consequences. Can anything be done? And we may well feel the same about our world today. There are moments, aren't there, when we see just how dark it is, our circle of friends, the people we work with, maybe our family. We look and see such darkness, and it seems that it's never going to clear. We see the culture around us continuing to determinedly reject the Christian heritage that we have. We look around in 21st century London, all these religions, utter confusion, with an assumption, either none are right or all are right, but whatever. And then we think of those we know personally. They've heard of Christ, maybe for us, from us, but they continue to reject him. They're in the dark, they don't realize it. How will they ever see the truth about Jesus? We're tempted to despair. Darkness is all around us. And then we read this, we say, look, even Jesus wasn't listened to. What hope is there today that people will get it? Will clarity ever come? And amazingly, there's an answer to that question. I wonder if you hadn't read on what you might have thought Jesus would say next. It's one we probably weren't expecting. Jesus says the world is in the dark, but the light breaks through at the cross. Remember verse 27, after all Jesus said, they did not understand. But it won't always be like that. Look at the beginning of verse 28. There's a so, something follows. Jesus says, so Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. So notice here, Jesus stops talking about what his hearers don't know, which he's said a number of times before, but now he is saying that a time is coming when they will know. There is going to be a turnaround. They'll get who he is, that his words and actions reveal his relationship to the Father. And what's going to make the difference? Well, earlier on in the passage, we were alerted to Jesus' hour. And here that hour is described as the lifting up of the Son of Man. Son of Man, an Old Testament title for God's King. And to be lifted up is to be exalted, to be honored, to be glorified. And the hour is coming when Jesus, the Son of Man, will be lifted up like this for all to see on the cross. The cross is what will break through and change everything. The light will be seen. Jesus is not saying that every single individual will see this. For some, the cross will confirm what they are assuming already. Ignore Jesus, write him off. But at the same time, some will see at the cross that Jesus is from God. They will get it. Here's the Son of Man. Here is God's King. Here's the one we've been waiting for. And this, they'll see, is why he has come from the Father. In all humility, ultimately to die. To deal with their greatest problem. To take away the sins of the world. Even the very sin of rejecting him. And so today, how will our world believe? How will our world see Jesus for who he really is? Where will people believe and turn to him? At the cross. If you're not a Christian here today, can I encourage you, please look to Jesus' death. You might feel at the moment that is the most baffling aspect of what Christians believe. I don't get that at all. Why not ask a Christian friend to show you from John's Gospel why that is the hour for which Jesus came, what it is he achieved there, what he reveals there. You may then see Jesus as he really is for the very first time. And what does it teach those of us who have seen already that Jesus is the light? Well, do you remember last week, the world hated Jesus, but we were to keep speaking of him, even so. And now John 8 has sharpened this further for us. Our message and that of the church must be about the cross. Now that might not be what we would have thought at all. And when we engage with the world, don't mishear me, we will of course try to answer people's questions. There is a place for apologetics, entering into discussion, showing where other worldviews break down and how the Christian worldview makes sense. But in all of that, at the heart of our message consistently must be the cross of Christ. We must never sway from that, of having it at the heart of what we say. We must proclaim it unashamedly. Even hearing that, we know, don't we? Our hearers may well not like that. It's not what they think they need in their spirituality. It might confuse people. Yes, it might, at least initially. We'll be told, as Christians, as the church, talk about something else more appealing. But listening to Jesus, understanding what he's saying, we realize we can't. Because it is at the cross that Christ is revealed in all his dazzling splendor. Jesus himself tells us he is confident that as people see him lifted up there, light will break through. They will see him as he really is. That he really is the light of the world, sent from the Father, and that whoever follows him, this crucified Christ, will not walk in darkness, but will then have the light of life. Let's pray as we close. I am the light of the world. Our Father, we praise you for revealing yourself to the world in your Son, our Lord Jesus, and above all in his death on the cross. Keep each of us, we pray, looking to him, following him, and living in this light. Keep us as a church unashamedly proclaiming his death, that the world might see him in his glory. And we ask that many more, now walking in darkness, would see that Jesus is the light, and so believe in him. For his name's sake. Amen.